Hello and welcome to another edition of the Lyricord Early and Classical Music Show. I'm here with my co-host Jeffrey Dooley. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hi, great to be back again.
And today we are going to continue our discussion about J.S. Bach as he appears on Lyricord discs.
Good idea. So, Nick, what do you think we'll be listening to next?
Well, since we're plucking away here, why don't we move on to Sean Leppard and John Paul playing the Lautenwerk. They're actually playing the complete trio sonatas on the Lautenwerk. And you want to explain what a Lautenwerk is? Because it has something to do with the lute as well.
Yes, the interesting about the Lautenwerk, and unfortunately none of them survive, but in Bach's list of his instruments, the Lautenwerk is mentioned, but it doesn't exist. So we've had to go by what's written about the instrument. But basically what it is a harpsichord with gut strings. Mm-hmm. And so it makes the supposedly the sound of the lute. And some of them had no dampers on them. Mm-hmm. Some of them did have a damper, like harpsichord jack drops. There's a little felt that ends the sound. Mm-hmm. And one was able to approximate the sound of the lute. Mm-hmm. And in our recording, these are all organ trio sonatas transposed for two Lautenwerk. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how they have arranged it, that sometimes both of them play the bass line at the same time, and because they're really three parts, like a trio sonata right. would be. Mm-hmm. But they're sort of, in some places, creating a continual accompaniment. There are some chords added in there to create the continual accompaniment. But the Lautenwerk is a marvelous instrument. It's becoming more popular these days. It's particularly effective in this kind of solo lute music, mm-hmm. Baroque lute music, because it gives the impression, but it doesn't have the type of subtlety that a lute would play because you don't really have control of how loud or soft you play. Mm-hmm. So like the harpsichord, the expression is created through the duration of the note. How long do you hold the note or how right. shortly do you hold it? But like so much of Bach's music really can be played on anything, and it comes through quite well. It can be played on two pianos, and it sure. would work, mm-hmm. unlike other Baroque composers, mm-hmm. because basically Bach is writing polyphony all the time, so something is moving along. So the Lautenwerk transposition is just as good as the organ, or a transposition for harpsichords would work just as well, too.
Well, let's give a listen to Trio Sonata in E-flat major, the Allegro movement, and then we'll also play the Vivace from Trio Sonata in G major. Rather innovative arrangement for
Very innovative.
Two keyboard instruments.
Thank you.
John Leppard and John Paul performing the first movement of the Trio Sonatas in G Major on 2 Lautenwerk. And I find that that's one of those pieces that really exemplifies the kind of geometric perfection of Bach. Just so perfect.
Yes, and, it is.
Now, we were talking about the Lautenwerk while the music was playing, that no one's really sure what they look like.
That's right. No one really knows because none have actually survived. So various builders have come up with several ideas. There's one that was built to look like a lute. It had a curved pear-shaped end. And the other, but more common ones are simply like a harpsichord.
Yeah, they look like the smallish harpsichord.
Yes, right. And the strings are gut. That's the biggest difference, to simulate the gut strings of the lute. You get the plucked sound.
Right. Now, these two instruments were built by Anden Huben, who is an extraordinary builder and also the engineer of this recording. So he really could get the sound exactly the way he wanted it.
Wonderful. Look, what could be better than the builder doing the recording?
Really. Let's see. Well, we might want to get to a cantata, a secular cantata, Bach's most famous secular cantata. I think he wrote 2, didn't he?
There's the coffee cantata and tobacco.
Actually, there was more than 2. There was a peasant cantata and a wedding cantata.
Yes.
I have to admit, I've never heard either of them.
No.
And there was a solo cantata, which is also secular. Coffee cantata is...
It's very secular.
That's the word I was looking for. Well, we have a wonderful performance of the Coffee Cantata by the Amor Artist Chorale and Baroque Orchestra, conducted by Johannes Samari, who, Jeffrey, you've worked with many times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this recording features Anne Manoias, soprano. John Ostendorf is the bass baritone. Stephen Oosting is the tenor. And this was recorded, actually, I believe, in the late 80s at Merkin Concert Hall. And it continues to get really high marks.
Oh, yes. It is a wonderful recording. And Anne Manoias was here at the same time I was here, and we did several things together that were first. We did the first B minor mass performance in New York on Baroque instruments, because she was a member of a group called the Concert Royal. And then she has since moved up to, she married the Canadian assistant to Tafel Music, so she moved up there.
Uh-huh.
And Steve Oosting is an interesting person. He's Dutch, and he's from the Dutch part of Michigan. He's from Holland, Michigan. Isn't that wonderful? He's a marvelous Bach singer.
Mm-hmm.
And so is John.
Right. Well, now, actually, before we go on to the Coffee Cantata movements, let's hear one motet, because there's some beautiful motets also on this recording.
What are we going to hear next?
Der Geist hilft.
Der Geist hilft.
Yes.
And the motets are also unique in Bach's output. He wrote, I think he wrote 6. I'm not really sure. Someone will call in and tell us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But people tend to think of them as unaccompanied.
Right.
But they are not, really. They always had a continual accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
They can be done unaccompanied. It's a challenge to do these elaborate fugues and things unaccompanied.
Mm-hmm.
That comes from the sort of a cappella approach to choral music in the 19th century. The 19th century composers wrote quite a bit of great big unaccompanied pieces, like the Liszt Missa Choralis is unaccompanied, there are several composers. So a cappella does not necessarily mean that it doesn't have any accompaniment.
I see.
So some performances of this do have an accompaniment. I've done it several times with accompaniment, and I've also done them without. With a keyboard accompaniment, one can guarantee that the pitch will stay, that the intonation will stay, because the bass line basically is doubled by the continuo instrument, usually an organ and a cello. But they're very impressive unaccompanied, too. It's a major accomplishment.
All right, well, let's listen to Der Geist hilft by the Amor Artist Chorale.
Thank you.
Geist Hilft by the Amor Artis Chorale, and that was Ed Brewer playing.
Ed Brewer at the organ. And here you can hear, when you have a continual accompaniment, it's more satisfying, especially when the texture thins out to maybe two voices or so. Then you're still having chords in there with the continual accompaniment. And so it's giving you the whole picture, as it were. It's without the organ, you have these sort of streams of a couple lines of voices without its full accompaniment. So it gives a sense of fullness to have the organ with the continual accompaniment. And in this, I've noticed that he's using the organ without a cello, which is fine, just as sufficient to give the chords.
Well, let's take a break, and then we can come back and play some more, okay?
Very good.
The first four volumes of J.S. Bach's Keyboard Works performed on clavichord by Richard Traeger are available on the Lyricord Early Music Series. Peter Graham Wolfe of Musical Pointers exclaims, "This is a revelatory ongoing series which establishes the suitability of that quiet instrument for playing and listening to Bach's solo keyboard music." Bridget Cunningham of Harpsichord and Fortepiano calls these recordings fantastic and a must for lovers of the clavichord and J.S. Bach. Robert Haskins, American Record Guide, says of Volume 2, "Traeger's recording of Bach's toccatas is special, extremely moving, and completely indispensable. Volume 3 ranked the highest-rated recording of Bach's inventions by BBC's Andrew McGregor. And the 2009 Penguin Guide to Classical Music says of Volume 4, "Brilliant performances, all of which sound very different from harpsichord or piano performances, and engagingly so." Jeffrey Lipscomb of Fanfare, "Pathbreaking Clavichord, warmly recommended." Jan Hanford of the J.S. Bach homepage calls Volume 4 a unique and sublime performance of the Art of Fugue. Richard Traeger is a world-class musician. I believe all of his recordings belong in every Bach lover's collection. And Francis Knights of Clavichord International agrees. This series is proving an essential purchase for J.S. Bach devotees. Experience all of Richard Traeger's Bach on Clavichord recordings on CD or download at www.lyricord.com today.
Jeffrey Dooley, you've had a long, extensive career as a countertenor. I understand you give master classes, too.
Yes, I do, and probably my favorite way of teaching is working with singers in Baroque interpretation and also how to improvise cadenzas. And I also teach English pronunciation for foreign students and business people, both in classroom settings and for private students as well. And I also lecture and serve on panels, that kind of thing.
Well, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, they can reach me through my manager, Melody Bunting International is the name of the organization, 155 West 72nd Street, room 604, New York, New York, 10023. And the website is www.melodybunting.com.
And the phone number?
212-799-4949.
Do you have an email address?
JeffreyMDooley@gmail.com.
I'm back here talking with Jeffrey Dooley on the Lyricord Early and Classical Music Podcast. Now, the Coffee Cantata we'll play a couple of selections from. It's a delightful cantata. It's incredibly silly.
Uh-huh.
It's all about the new addiction to coffee.
The new addiction to coffee,
that was
yes.
Sweeping Germany at the time. It's sort of a domestic disruption that this causes between a man and his young daughter.
Because it shows old Bach is this humorous person.
Uh-huh, right.
Still writing wonderful counterpoint.
It's sort of a little sitcom about
that. That's right, it is. Yeah. And he performed
addiction.
These in the coffee house and in the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
So for once, it wasn't in church.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't really perform this one in church.
No, you wouldn't do this one.
Right. Well, let's hear the soprano aria from the Coffee Cantata and Minoyas. Let's give a listen.
Thank you.
Okay, you just heard Anne Minoyas as Lizzie from the Coffee Cantata singing about the joys of drinking coffee. And that is from our album, The Coffee Cantata, Cantatas 211, 158, and two beautiful motets by Johannes Samari, conducting the Amerartis Chorale and Baroque Orchestra. And in that aria, we heard Daniel Waitzman playing the Baroque flute. Did you want to say anything about Baroque flute, Jeffrey?
Yes, of all the instruments that are different from the modern instruments, to me, the most different is the flute, because the Baroque flute is simply a tube made of wood with holes, no keys. The flute without keys survived for quite a long time, even into the modern orchestras. Mm-hmm. But for Baroque music, the combination of the human voice and the Baroque strings with the flute is such a marvelous sound. It's a totally different sound.
Yeah.
The Baroque flute is really just right for this music. Mm-hmm. For example, that aria, the intertwining parts of the soprano voice and the Baroque flute, it has the same kind of blending combination that the recorder and the voice has right together. As you can hear from the recording, it has a sort of windy sound. You can hear the air moving through the wood, which I think it just gives it such a beautiful character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's now go back to the resolution of the conflict of the Coffee Cantata. The lyrics on this trio are translated as, "The cat cannot leave the mice alone, and teenage girls can't stay away from coffee. Mom loves her coffee habit, and even Granny drank plenty of it in her day. So why should the daughter be any different?" So all is resolved, and everybody has a
Starbucks Cantata.
So let's hear the trio from the Coffee Cantata.
Wir lohnen auf den Weg.
All right, now we're going to move on and listen to a very well-known piece by Bach, Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring, performed by Valentin Radoux. And what did you want to say about Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring? It's certainly one of Bach's most well-known pieces.
Yes, it's very well-known, and it's one of the chorale preludes. It could be for, in this case, solo organ, or it could be the chorale that is sung in four parts, but the ornamentation or the descant that's going over the top is in sets of three triplets. And Baroque composers, including Bach, often use the triplets to show joy. And so the text is about the joy of Jesus being the joy of man's desiring. So you have the rhythm of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, sort of the rocking quality, the soothing quality of a Siciliano, which comes from Sicily. That's why it's called a Siciliano.
Oh,
and it really refers to the shepherds on the side of the hill playing their pipes. And so whenever you have Siciliano, it's two sets of triplets.
Wow, I didn't know
that's
that.
Where it comes from.
He wrote the joy right into the music.
He did, right. Uh-huh. He's really showing it in his descant in the upper part.
All right, well, let's listen to Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring, performed by Valentin Radoux on our Lyricord Early Music Series Amadeus Ensemble Baroque Masterworks album. Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring, performed by Valentin Radoux.
Very good.
Well, thank you for being with us today. That about wraps it up.
Oh, great to be here. Looking forward to more.
Yes, we'll see you next time.
All right.
This program copyright 2010, Lyricord Discs. All rights reserved.